I'd like to bring the October 18th Board of Commissioners meeting to order. It's great seeing some folks in the room with us tonight. So thank you for being here. I'd like to do a roll call of all the commissioners. And when I say your name, if you just say if you're present or virtually. Commissioner Robertson.
Present.
Commissioner Trent.
Present.
Commissioner Wesson.
Present.
Commissioner Atkins.
Present.
And I'm Commissioner Lee, and I am present. I'll call on Commissioner Wesson for the invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance.
Heavenly Father and Eternal God, we bow our heads in humble submission to your word. Father, we come just to say thank you, Father, for all your many blessings. Thank you for this opportunity. That everything that we might do, not only in this but in your Father, give us the strength to study well and consider all the alternatives and put aside any partisan or personal kind of preferences and represent the citizens of such great power. Thank you. Lord, we bless and bless all of those folks in the county, many people who are struggling with all kinds of things, the pandemic, and so many other things. But Lord God, we look to you for your help. We ask these blessings in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Join me in the pledge of your
pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would just like to say if the listening public is having difficulty hearing me or understanding me, my apologies. I got word that I may have been exposed to COVID, and I went and got tested this morning, tested negative, commissioners, but out of caution, I am still wearing the mask just to protect everybody, just in case something is going on. So if you are having a hard time hearing me, I do apologize. First on the agenda, let's go back to public comments. Are there any public comments from those in the audience? LaShonda, are there any public comments online?
No public comments at this time.
Okay, I'll just remind the audience and the listening public if you have any public comments at the end of the meeting, then we'll have another public comment session then. So first on the agenda is the presentation of the 2021 North Carolina Cooperative Extension County Partnership Award. Burt T. County Extension Director Billy Barrow and Northeast Director Art Bradley. If you'll come forward, please. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And I called two names, and there's three of you, so please introduce. Okay, yes, you can remove your mask.
Okay. Well, we're glad to be here tonight. Again, I'm Billy Barrow, the County Extension Director, and with me is Art Bradley. He's our District Director for NC State Extension, and Mark White, he's our Extension Director for NCA&T. And, you know, we work together. We have agents from both universities there, and we're excited to have that. So we're glad to have these gentlemen here tonight, and we're so glad to be able to come to you tonight and express a little bit of token for our appreciation for all you all have done and support, particularly with our new building, but not only that, but all the support you give us through salaries and just the things that we need to run our business. So I'm going to turn it over to Art right now. Real quick.
Good evening, commissioners.
Good evening.
County Manager Bone and citizens of Burt T. County. We're here on behalf of North Carolina Cooperative Extension tonight from our state's two land grant universities, North Carolina A&T State University in Greensboro and NC State University in Raleigh. The mission of these two universities is to provide practical education for the people of our state and to conduct research to solve current problems. Cooperative Extension exists to convey that research and education to our citizens and communities across the state. And that would not be possible without the tremendous support of our county governments. So tonight we're here to recognize Bertie County Government with the North Carolina Extension Partnership Award for the Northeast District, which was announced at the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners meeting back in August. Your enduring support of our partnership structure continues to show through the educational programs in agriculture, youth development, and family nutrition education happening here in Bertie County. It's not often that new county facilities are constructed, and due to the circumstances, a lot of heavy lifting was needed to get this project recognized, to get it funded, and to get it finally constructed. Across the state, all but two county extension offices are owned by county government. If you're interested, those are Carteret County, which is an NC State facility, and Granville County, which is on federal property at the research station. But on behalf of our two universities, we wanted to publicly thank you for your tireless efforts in making this project possible, housing cooperative extension in Bertie County and your library. So ultimately, we wanted to find a more tangible way to say thank you for your efforts with this partnership award. So Morris, if you want to present that to us. So each the office got one of these, and the county commissioners will receive one of these also.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Thank you all so much for your support.
Thank you.
This looks like a picture, an opportunity, a photo op, yes, as we would say. So thank you so much. It's a beautiful building, and we're so proud to have had a part in it. And I know it's going to serve us well. Y'all do tremendous work in this county. I've seen the employees over there hard at work. Mr. Barrow does an excellent job in leading them. I sit on a committee with, your name has escaped. Mr. Guy. Sorry. It just left me all at one time. But anyways, y'all just do tremendous work. So we're really grateful for the opportunity to have this in our new facility in our county. And it was really great that it was all donated money. So yeah, it's really great. So thank you so much. If y'all would like to come stand down in front of us, and we'll stand behind you up here, and County Manager can take our picture. It's like a good newspaper article for those for the newspaper that's listening. Yeah, I hate to be late. Sorry, guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. Woo-hoo. And we were recognized at the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners lunch supper.
Next item on the agenda there.
Yes, sir.
Which is, we're going to have Guy Holly. And we talked about 4-H and the variety of programs that we do. And one thing that's been, that I've noted has been on everybody's mind is workforce development. And Guy's here tonight to share some experiences and with our 4-H'ers and how that's maybe played out. And we're just so proud and thought this would be a great chance to share a little bit of information with you guys. So, Guy, you go up.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
All right. So with me, you still working on the development of this space presented. But for those who don't know or can't or can see me and don't know who I am, I'm Guy Holly. I am the Bertie County 4-H Youth Development Agent. We specialize in working with youth from ages 5 to 18. And in the course of the time, I've been here since November 2017. So we'll be approaching 4 years this November. And in my first year, starting in 2018, I had the privilege of meeting this young man to my left, Joshua Pockpock, through the 4-H Livestock Program. that was one area that I did not think I had to do, but we have a Lifestart program that's one of the first things you do. So I met this young man, and from the initial meeting, I knew there was something special about him. And I got a chance to see that by him taking ownership of his growth and wanting to do more than what he saw and what he, and also looking at other people, he wanted to be able to do more. And so we presented opportunities for him, just like with all the other youth, and he took advantage of every single thing. And I'm going to let him share his story a bit. I will do some coaching, just because he's a little nervous, but we will do some coaching through this if he needs it, but hopefully he shouldn't need it, because he's a rock star. All right.
I've said this in another meeting, we don't bite. Yeah.
My name is Johnson Papa. I was a 4-H member of Wilton County for about 4 years right now. And throughout the year I've spent in there, I was in 4-H Livestock Show for about 3 to 4 years. Three to 4 years. And after that, I went into a leadership program called LIT, if I'm correct. Leaves in trading, and that's when it all started with my project of hydroponics and making sure that I ended up having a competition over there in Raleigh, even though I didn't make it to one of the
state competition from the district level competition.
Even though I didn't make this district level, I still try my best to make sure everything's perfect. And one thing I learned from all this is basically leaderships. And to be honest, I didn't expect me to come up this fast, what I am now. So it turns out the leadership I have and the job that I gave up now. At first, when I joined into QSI and over there, after graduating from Butte County, I ended up as a employee, as a worker. However, they ended up moving me because I was too fast and too quickly, even though I didn't know what I was doing. Which is funny, because ain't no experience, move up. So apparently, I went over there, I tried my best, then I ended up moving as a line leader. And apparently, I was an assistant supervisor at the time, because I know what time they're coming out, what time I need to be on the floor, what time to get in chemicals, and all this planning stuff that I've been using throughout the process that I have. And thanks to that, they decided to move me as a supervisor right now. So as throughout these events, throughout the struggles that we had, I just want to thank everyone and Mr. Guy Harding from taking me to a step back and realize that it's very important to join into the leadership program in 4-H as well. And thanks to that, I ended up buying a house.
Oh, all right. Cool. Yeah. Congratulations. And you didn't seem nervous at all, young man. So congratulations. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Are there any questions for any of the...
No, I would just like to say, if someone who grew up in 4-H here, just like you did, Guy. You were a little closer to it than I am with your mom. it makes a big difference in a kid from a rural community having experiences that take them outside of, just their local community. I know it meant a lot to me in my development. And I know when I had the pleasure of being on the selection committee, Guy, when we were looking to fill Tier Bill's slot when you came in. And I can tell you, we're so proud of the job that you've been doing. You've been a great asset to the program and to the county, and we appreciate your efforts so very much. We hear so many wonderful things from other people who work with you, and makes us proud. Thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Yes, that's wonderful.
And if I can add on to Commissioner Wessons, this is, again, a great venture through our cooperative extension. We have never, ever had anything that I'm more proud of than cooperative extension here in Bertie County. I'm proud of the people that are there. I'm proud of the leadership of Mr. Billy Burroughs and the people that support, and the Board of Commissioners. they have constantly supported cooperative extension, not only here locally, but statewide, our county manager. And thank you. And whenever you don't think that you're qualified to do something, you got that look in your eye that you think that you are. And I like that. So I want to tell you, congratulations to everybody. Thank you so much for what you do.
Yes. Congratulations, Jim. Great. I would just like to take this opportunity. Guy and I were on I was on Zoom. He was in person in a meeting with Three Rivers Healthy Carolinians, and he represented y'all extremely well and put in a lot of good plugs for Bertie Beach. So yay. But yeah, I just wanted to let you know that he represents very well. So thank you. And he didn't pay me to say that. All right. Thank you all so much. Next on the agenda is reports from the tax administrator, Jody Ray.
Good evening. First thing we have is a request for approval of a late application for elderly exemption disability exclusion. Y'all should have a letter in your package. Just a brief. Previously in this program, a few years ago, she deeded her property to her children. And last year, they deeded it back to her with lifetime rights. She was unaware that she had to reapply for this exemption. The statute that allows you to do this, 105.282.1, for good cause. 2016, this Board of Commissioners had made a resolution that, given the broadness of that term and at the advice of Department of Revenue and School of Government, that this board would take a lenient approach to these requests. Based on that information, I'm requesting that this application be approved.
I make a motion to move forward with approving that application.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Next thing I have, a request for relief from collecting taxes on classified motor vehicles. I wanted to be here in person to kind of explain this to you. Prior to 2013, when the state tag and tax came about, the state was on another system called TEC. If you look at the Excel sheet I have back there, the total amount of taxes that are owed on that old system is $43,176.38 from tax years 2012 to 17.
Wow.
96% of that figure is from 2012 to 2013. Now, as you can tell below, the payments that we've received each year has slowly dwindled. With last year, so far this year, we've collected $3.12. Last year, $105.61. And these came from the debt set off program, whether it was somebody through somebody's taxes, or if they income taxes, or if they won the lottery, we just got lucky and hit it. The IT department maintains a souped-up workstation just for this program. There's $100 a year licensing fee. There's maintenance on the workstation itself, plus the power to run it. So the last couple of years, we've actually lost money on this. That company, TEC, lost the bid for the new tag and tax system, and they basically are out of business. We have no support or anything. In checking with the School of Government, what this statute does is relieve me from the charge of collecting this tax. So they're not sitting out there and you're wondering why they're out there for all these years. At this point, we've exhausted all of our remedies in trying to collect these. Now, I spoke with Chris McLaughlin, who's assistant professor of public law at the School of Government, who says, technically, I can be released but the taxes remain on the books. But in practice, he has found that the majority of counties that do this just go ahead and write them off. I asked that question of all 100 counties. I got four responses. Two of them wanted to know what I found out. One didn't read my email, and I said I only wanted counties to respond that have done this, and all I got was, no, we don't do it. And then Union County, they do this, and they write them off after every 3 years. But since the inception of the tag and tax program, our collection rate for vehicle taxes, if it's not 100%, it's 99.9. So it's not something you're going to see. Just these taxes here have been sitting out there for those, all these years. We don't know where they work, don't know where they bank. Cars are probably sold and gone.
Ask you a question, Jody. Back in 2012 and 13, wasn't the state collecting these taxes at the time? When did it change over to the county? Or how did something happen here?
It didn't go. The tag and tax system did not officially start until late 2013.
Okay.
And then it took a couple of years to work out a lot of the bugs.
So most of this was prior to it changing.
96%.
96%.
No, that gotcha. $43,000 was prior to that.
Okay.
So you're asking for a vote to do away with,
one, to release me from the chart.
Right.
And two, depends on how you want to handle, if you, they want to leave them on the books, which means we still have to have that workstation operational.
That's costing us money?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you feel that it's futile, or certainly not practical, to pursue collecting these taxes?
We have done that for years, and this is... Like I said, it's a fluke that we get a payment in, and that's just because somebody got a scratch-off ticket and they have no those taxes. So we get a cut of that. So,
okay. What's the pleasure of the board? Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion if we move to relieve the tax administrator from dealing with this.
What about leaving them on the books or off the books?
Off the books.
So the motion is to relieve tax administrator from collecting this and to remove them from the books. Is there a second?
I'll second
that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, sir. So there is an item that's been added to the agenda. Actually, two items, but the first item being EMS staff update by the EMS Director, EM Director Mitch Cooper. Mr. Cooper, would you join us, please? Yes.
Starting across, moving all over the world.
You're troubling me.
All my name, and then I realized it was my last name and not the first name. I don't want to go to work full time.
All right. The board knows who I am. For everybody listening, my name is Mitch Cooper. I'm the director of Bertie County Emergency Services. Come to you tonight to give you an update on our staffing shortages. And we understand that our staffing shortages are nationwide, statewide, and we're in a difficult market to stay staffed, especially coming off the backside of coronavirus. And I say the backside, we don't know really when the end of that's going to be. So we're presented with challenges every day. First off, I handed y'all a kind of a layout of what our schedule is. It's the one with the red, blue, and the greens on it. And this shows you how our shift schedule works. We do an A, B, C, and D shift. We work 24 hours and off 72. It takes four shifts to achieve that schedule every year. All EMS employees average to 2,080 hours and then have a built-in overtime of about 32 hours a month of overtime. They work 4 weeks of 8 hours overtime and they have a short week of 36. As you can see in the top of this layout, we have a completely red mark across one of our units, which we're down an entire truck. Right now, all of that since September 22nd has been filled with overtime across the board, which is throwing our EMS system into a deficit as far as what we're going to take to pay those salaries. And that's what I come here tonight to discuss and just bring it to your attention. We're looking at any avenue possible to help alleviate this deficit. We're looking at any avenue possible to help recruit new employees. And the biggest one we're looking at is how to retain our employees and stop this bleed we're having for people leaving. And it's not just us. I mean, we've all seen it in the news. I just got done reading about Wake County upstairs before I come down here. And they're looking at putting nurses on call through like telemedicine. A grand idea for a county that can afford to do that. Bertie County is currently running at a 32% deficit of its EMS staff. And this current reduction is anticipated to have deficits in the salary, including the benefits. In addition, we have started planning for reduction in services to help offset the deficit, and this plan allowed the system to operate with minimal impact to our citizens. We've had several meetings, some with the county manager, assistant county manager William, some with my staff. The biggest thing we come up with is how can we augment our system to put less of a burden on our citizens where they don't feel the effects of not having a 911 service ambulance come to their door in their time of need. Currently, our system operates with a quick response vehicle with one captain and then four ambulances staffed 911. With that 32% reduction, 32% of our wages are covered by strictly overtime. The increased amount of overtime is continuing to increase our deficit daily. We want to make a plan, like we spoke about, to limit the impact to our citizens. And once this plan is finalized, we'll be able to operate three ambulances Monday through Friday from 7A to 7P and operate four ambulances 7P to 7A, 7 days a week, and on the weekends, fully staffed at four trucks and one QRV during the weekends. Now, the way we'll achieve this is by taking our admin staff out of the office and putting them on the ambulance to run calls during the day in the peak hours to continue to run those ambulances and meet our response times as we've done in the past, which is going to put a burden on our admin staff. But we were at roughly about 19% prior to September being short on staff. We had budgeted for our overtime. We had looked in the future and kind of saw what it was going to take. But we're already seeing it writing on the wall for fatigue and burnout for our employees. When you put an employee on an ambulance and run them for 48 hours straight, it tends to be very, very hard on you.
Mitch, if you don't mind, Captain, that's what you're going through now. So if you move administrative staff onto the trucks and stuff, what is the downside of that? What's the impact, specific impact?
It's going to take me out of the office. Yeah. It's going to take our biller out of the office. It's going to take our my administrative assistant out of the office was doing all our FEMA paperwork for reimbursements.
That's my concern, because if we lose a lot of the accountability around billing and things like that, I mean, that's lost potentially.
Yeah, it's gonna slow things down.
It won't stop it. It'll just slow it down.
No, but you're going to see cash. But you're going to see cash flow slow drastically. It's going to slow drastically.
We're talking rescue now, right? No,
we're not talking non-emergency transport. We're a 5 short on non-emergency transport. We have some on that side that are in the paramedic class. As we go further into this, we're going to go in through the salary study we did, and I'm going to show where the weaknesses are for us across the board in EMTs and paramedics. But strictly right now, we're talking about 911 ambulances.
Can you, Mitch, explain with being short, basically a whole shift, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Which is 2, 4, 6, 8 employees?
Technically it's 10. Two of the people in the blue are coming from the transport side.
Okay.
So as I move people from there, I'm hurting.
Okay. But you also had two of them in training also, correct? Yep. Okay. So you've got technically 10. Okay.
10 is our 32% mark. Yes,
okay. Sir. With the people that were having to fill those slots with the overtime, and you had in your budget a certain amount of overtime already plotted, correct?
Yes, sir.
How much is this going to throw your budget out of whack?
If we stay at 32% by the end of the year, we'll be in a deficit of $238,000.
Over what your budgeted projections were, correct?
Yes, sir.
And then if it increases, I'm looking at $300,000 a year that year.
So we use the numbers based on the large sheet of looking at what our worst case scenario would be if we went to 45% of loss of staff. That's based off conversations with people that have applied at other places or been reached out to by other places for job employment and looking at a deficit of $299,424.
Okay, that's over and above what you have budgeted, correct?
Yes, sir. If we continue to run the amount of overtime.
Mitch, when you say reductions in service, do you mean total billable dollars or are you mean we don't collect at 100%?
Well,
so are you looking
when I say reduction of service means the number in blue is if we reduce the service, which is by 4,680 man hours. And that would be covered by the admin staff working during those daily hours, Monday through Friday. The call volume is going to be there. We've got to answer the call volume. What's going to be the hindrance is now we're about an average of 10 minutes to a scene time. We're looking 30, 45 minutes to a scene time. Robin,
Mitch, let me ask you this. What position have you taken in recruiting staff?
We've sent people to school. We recruit in the schools that we are sending our staff to schools with. We advertise on Indeed. We've advertised nationwide on Indeed. We've done Facebook stuff in the past. The biggest thing in EMS right now is word of mouth. I was sitting in my office last week, and one of our employees was sitting in a chair that happens to work in the office, and she was offered a job by a neighboring county and laid a finger on the table for her and said, come here. We have not done the same. We're doing word of mouth. We've got openings. We're telling them that we want people to come work for us.
Right. Okay.
But our challenge goes into when we start putting our dollar figures out there, they lean other ways.
What is the dollar figures? If you can just talk about that. I know we got it here in front of us, but if you can just talk about that as far as your paramedic level,
our current paramedic level is $17.55 an hour.
Okay. And the regular paramedic level that you've seen out there is $19 an hour?
It's averaging $18.90 an hour if you take all of these and average them out.
Mm-hmm.
Gates County is $19, Chowan is $19, North Hammond is $19.80, Perquimans is $19.55, Pitt is $18.52, Edgecombe is $17.56, Now, Edgecombe is in the middle of taking over a private nonprofit like we did in 2013. And I know they have approved at least a 2% raise to that number.
So basically, all of our surrounding counties are in $19 range for a paramedic, correct?
Yes, sir.
How do our benefits compare to theirs?
Our benefits are explained on the lower part of that salary study. All of the counties offer benefits. The privates offer benefits with some pay. All of them are 100% paid except for Pitt County has a qualified, unqualified based on tobacco use. All of them except for three offer a 401k. Most of them match except for Chowan doesn't match, Northampton doesn't match, and the private doesn't match. Gates County is a private nonprofit, and Pitt County has a 5.64 match. So
very similar.
Very similar in our benefit packages.
So the privates are paying 100% of the insurance also?
No, you have to either match a $54 weekly or $50 monthly, depending on the package you get. And I think all of that goes in effect after a year of employment.
Okay, so they're paying $54 a month. What in reference to their health insurance, correct? Right. So they pick up the other balance,
right,
which runs about $600 a month, I guess, somewhere right there, right?
Employee, yeah, yes, sir.
Okay, so employee's still paying about $540, $550 a month, somewhere around that area.
I believe employee's paying, I'm not sure.
I'm just running it off of what we are on state insurance. We're county manager, we're running about, what, $600 a month, something like that for an employee, $500?
Something like that, would you?
Okay, so that's theirs would probably be higher, but we'll just use that as a factor.
Did you have anything else you wanted to share?
I mean, I can go through the rest of this. I'm just on the deficit sheet. If it's got a deficit here, if we were awarded a salary adjustment. And on the second page, it's got what if we could get back to our 19%, best case scenario, what our salary adjustment would have to be as far as the deficit. But the deficit exists and it's going to exist. There's no way to turn around from that at this point.
I have a couple of concerns about giving across the board raises. One being that in our financial situation, the way it is, and you know, November, when we see our audit, we'll have a better idea of where we're at. Plus, you know, if we raise ours, then the neighboring county that might not be in the same financial situation just raises theirs. And, you know, those employees that jump ship, are they going to come back and then jump ship again? And here we are right back where we started from. So I have those concerns, but I also have some concerns about the overtime that we're, you know, it's costing us.
Yeah, but that overtime chairman is also not in his budget.
Right.
It's over and above what he has quantitated. Can I ask a question real quick? And William, you may have to answer this, whether you can answer this or not. I don't know. We've got 3% we're paying towards 401k for the EMS. What does that? Yeah, that I do know, okay? But I'm also looking at Chowan pays zero, Northampton pays zero, Pasquamish pays one. What is that total amount on that 3% when it comes down?
What's the actual dollar figure?
For just EMS services.
What's our average salary?
The annual salary for the park.
I don't look it up. I mean, the annual salary for a paramedic's gonna be about 38 without overtime.
So 3% is gonna be what, about $800 a year? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. We budget for this.
Like for full time, looks like we budgeted around 1.2 million for salaries.
And so if you take 3% of that, that will give us an idea.
$360,000. Okay.
And Mitch, do you normally find that, you know, raising a base salary is something that you're stuck with, right? Have you looked at the possibility of bonuses and even kind of bounties, what some departments do, meaning that if I bring in someone who qualifies, a current employee bring in someone, I get a bounty for that person, or I get a one-time bonus for
the person. And we've not looked at the bounty.
Yeah, usually bonuses can be attractive. They're less costly than raising salaries because they're not baked in, right? Do you examine the difference between what those two might be, or do you think bonuses would work?
I'm not saying bonuses won't work. I'm looking at what our numbers are and what our employees are doing, and I'm looking at the market around us. And, you know, every county down here has got a shortage. Bertie's 32%. Edgecombe says they're 10%. Pitt County, 7%. Gates County says they're 0%. They run a part-time truck. They're having trouble filling a part-time truck. Choyon County is 27%. Northampton County is almost 8%. Perquimans County is 26%. Herford County is 16%. So when we start putting job advertisements out there and everybody's got all these openings, it's coming down to a dollar figure. And, you know, I came to work for Bertie County with a goal in mind of 30 years of retirement and a pension and health insurance. You can advertise all that all day long. And the only people we're getting in the door, they've got to make a car payment and rent payment. And
that's that's why I'm going to bring this back up again. We talked about the 3% match. And again, county manager, finance officer, and Dave, I don't know if it can be done or if it's an option for an employee to say, I would rather have that 3% in my paycheck than to have that 3% in my 401k match.
William?
That's what I'm bringing up. Well, William probably can't answer this question. He's probably going to research it. I'm just saying.
That's certainly a thought. I think you're right, Mitch. I've always said that we probably haven't done a good enough job of promoting our benefits because they really add up. But at the same time, you're exactly right. It seems like a lot, especially your young employees,
they don't care about checks.
Then it starts making you wonder, you know, whether or not we're spending too much money on the benefits. Like you say, maybe we should be giving them an option having it in some of these things in their check.
Again, the reason I bring that up is because in private business, I ended up running into this in South Florida. And then it became an option, okay? And they sign a piece of paper so that they can't say that A got it, but I didn't get it. They sign a piece of paper. They did not want to have that 3% contribution from the company, okay? They would rather have that in their paycheck, okay? And some people say they would rather have it, and they just sign a simple piece of paper. Now, that's in private business. I don't know how that works in government. Go ahead, William. Okay, but for us to do what he's talking about doing, that's $18 still versus $17.55. That's something. And what we got to do right now, William, is stop the bleeding of the employees we've got.
Yeah.
Okay? So something to them is something to them. And as to Commissioner Wesson and Commissioner Atkins' point is that they're looking at paycheck.
If that's why I asked the question, Mitch, if I'm a guy looking at a paycheck, and you talk about increasing my paycheck on an hourly rate by a small amount, as opposed to offering me a bonus, which puts some serious sizable amount of money in my pocket right now, okay, that might be a much better attraction getting somebody in. You only raise their salary by 3%, that's a couple of, you know, dollars an hour. It's a long time to add up what a typical bonus might be to get somebody, right? So that's why I suggested the bonus, right? And you know how it is. I mean, people know people. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you, once you get are from referrals from people, right? You're already in the work. Sometimes that bounty can help, you know, incentivize current employees to help us find people who are qualified.
Let me ask.
Combine those two things. There might be a problem.
Let me ask a question real quick. When you're talking about a bonus, is that to hire on or to keep the people that we have already in place?
I'm saying to hire on.
Okay, but how do we stop or slow the attrition?
Okay, so can I put this out there? So I like the idea of the bonus and the bounty. I like your idea of the 3% if we can legally do all that. And it's can we not also do something? We had some of that ARP money. Can we not use some of that for the bonuses and the bounty and maybe give them another bonus, for staying with us?
We've been looking into that and researching that, and most of the uses of that has to do with your response to COVID. And since they haven't been hired yet, they haven't done any response to COVID.
But the ones that are here
now, like the same way we did the premium pay, we could probably, look at doing something.
If you stay with us for the next year, we'll give you another. Our next 6 months, we could give you another whatever.
So that's a retention piece. Right. That's a great idea.
Right.
Right.
You got to put together a real package.
And we got the money for that.
Well, let me ask you a question. Has that money been spoken for already?
No, we had about 90-something thousand.
I can go back and tell you exactly how much. Okay. We have some left. We haven't obligated all of it yet.
Okay.
We're trying to save it for future broadband stuff. But
we're going
to
get a second piece.
Right.
You push that out. So if you're here X number of months,
right,
then you're going to get this. And that comes out of new money, not the existing.
Do you know your staff better than we do? I mean, would that be something that might would help?
This is a short-term fix.
Well,
I think he's right.
I mean, we sit here and talk about bonuses and attracting, and we have to put time into training them. They have to come in, they have to learn accounting, we have to put money into that. Every time you hire somebody, they're on a truck for 3 months riding third person. I mean, just as good as anybody, you can't put somebody on the street right out of school.
It's a year before the effect,
right?
At least a year before.
So, and if you put it all on paper, I'm trying to be competitive against the markets that are around us. I'm trying to compete against retention. Retention of all things is the most important to me because they're invested in the county. They know the county. They know how we operate. And that is, in the end, the best way to continue to grow our system.
They're already trained.
Let me tell you something that the sheriff just said to me yesterday. He said, Ron, remember when you guys raised our salaries? He said that lasted about 2 months because all the other places, counties raised theirs too. And so now we're all paying more than we were paying. So I'm not sure. Now I understand the problem and it's a serious problem. But sometimes I think you got to look. It's so easy to say that, but if we do this, trust me, every other county is going to raise theirs. Very same thing.
Oh,
they're going to have to.
And that's why I built these deficit scenarios.
Right.
So I'm not going to promise that this is going to fix everything or not.
Maybe not, but maybe it takes a little bit of all of that because I love what the chairman said here about, we can use part of that money, especially if it's outside X number of months, it takes out of the new money. We still maybe can use some of that existing money for some other kind of fix, like what Commissioner Trent said, right? Maybe that. You're taking out of your retirement, but a bonus and a bounty. I've seen it work.
You got your finger on the pulse of this. I think certainly better than me. I think better than any of us. And nobody's asked you, so I'm going to put you on the spot. If you were sitting here, how would you fix it?
I would be competitive. I've asked for $19 for a medic, $16.50 for an AMT, and $15 for an EMT. An EMT right now for Burke T. County makes $12.35. You look at the averages there are just under 15 and right over 15, depending on which county you're looking at.
How much would that cost us a year for the balance of this year and then for a full year?
Without the deficit, you're looking about an increase of 125 to 150.
For the balance of this year?
80.
80,000 for the balance of this year, but we have a deficit already of 200.
And the deficit scenarios down here play in effect with the increase.
That's taking into account the increase in overtime, because once you increase the hourly salary, you also increase your overtime.
Yep.
Exactly.
That's taking that in. That's taking that.
I'll be honest with you, that's a gamble.
Yeah. Right. I understand.
I mean,
that's why I asked.
Continue to recruit and continue to push. I've got four in school. If I can pull EMTs, I don't have to pull medics. I've got some medics. I mean, right here it says my ultimate needs are 3 paramedics and 5 EMTs. If I can get those 2 out of school on the transport side, then I need 1 paramedic and 7 EMTs. But I can get a class started and have an EMT in 6 months. It takes me a year and a half to get a paramedic.
How many paramedics do you have on non-emergency?
None.
Well,
I've got one that just finished school to certify that's coming to the transport side. But we typically don't run that many ALS calls on non-emergency, so we've kind of faded away from that.
Okay. Well, that does away with that question I was going to ask. Yeah. So, would you still recommend that, knowing, and I mean, our financial woes are no secret. So, if we could just hold off until we get this next audit and see where we're at.
Well, I mean, I'd come until tonight hoping that, you know, maybe in the next month or two, I'll have a solid answer about which way my ship's going.
Right.
We understand.
Let me make sure I value your opinion. But your number one thing is
retention,
but not losing anybody, right? So we just had a suggestion that could put some serious peace out here for people who are currently working. If you stay with us, this is what you will get. That's a pretty strong retention piece. It's a whole lot better than raising that salary per hour over a short period of time. A lot better for them. But then that might fix that piece, but you still got the other piece of how do you attract, right? Because I'm thinking about using money, reducing the amount of money that we have to use to fix problems because we don't have, quite frankly. And the piece about the retention piece allows us to use money that was coming to us that we know is going to be in a year that we can fix. A solid something, a guarantee in front of people. The other piece, it might take several different pieces.
I agree it'll be a fix today.
Right. Well, but, that's what I'm afraid. Anything's going to be a fix today.
Yeah. It'll be a fix today. But next budget season, what are these other counties going to do as we continue to compete? And are we going to go from $2 behind to $3 to $4 behind? I mean,
well, it's a given that if we raise it, the other counties are going to raise. I mean, we've seen it. We experienced it with the sheriff's department. So, and then we're still back in the same shape we're in.
But if we know that, and that's a real thing, in a new budget, right, just suck it up. Make some other cuts someplace to be able to do that.
That's or raise taxes.
Whatever, right?
Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes.
So what it takes. But the point is, that's easier to do then. Right now, you don't have it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. We when we started losing people about a month ago, we really dived into it because we did this back when COVID was hot and heavy and everybody was in the market. We didn't do it right before the budget. And it had gone up exponentially for some counties that are advertising, you know, to border our borders.
It's a tough spot. I mean, I would really want to. People who you have been great. We don't want to lose any of them. But at the same time, we're going to be fighting everybody else out there trying to get new people.
So talking to your people that you have now, as far as retention, what are your people talking? What are their?
My fears right now is I have loyalty with our employees. I think they're going to stick it out.
That's good.
Okay.
That's great. Right.
My problem now is you put them on a truck for 48 hours and they hurt yourself.
Right.
Or a patient. Or they wreck a truck and it cost us, you know, $250,000, whatever the insurance is going to cost. And we start burning them out. And then they start quitting and going somewhere else. Because while we have a problem in EMS as far as our wages go, there are other jobs out there to offer more or better pay that they'll walk away from and not have the stress anymore. And we're seeing that. It may not be happening here on our doorstep right now.
It's nationwide. Yes, it is nationwide.
When you start looking at people walk away from it, it's, you know, and then you say, well, who's going to go pick up the next call? Who's going to go get them? And right now we have loyalty. And that's why I'm up here tonight, because I'm fighting to keep that loyalty. Because if we are a revolving door, we're just going to be a revolving door. We're going to have problems constantly in and out the door.
Yeah, but Mitch, I know you have real great employees. I've been visit with your at your organization that does a great job. And I know this back maybe a year ago with the jail done, they done an incentive to sign on bonus for the people to come and sign on to work there. And there's some things like that that we can really think about. Plus, just like Commissioner Trent said with the 3%, we do several different things to help retain those EMT services. I think that'll be the way for the board to go. And also on the other side of that coin, it's a good time to come because we out like, what, 7 months, 8 months before budget time again. And then, you know, we already know in advance what we, some things that we need to look at, maybe cutting so that things to get funded, reference health, you know, saving lives. So that's, you know, that's my position, you know.
Mine too. I meant if that's a possibility of getting the extra 50 that I was talking about, yeah, and then try to do something as what Commissioner Weston was talking about with the bonus. What'd you call it, bounty? Bonus? Okay. Now, but one thing we did with
bird dog with the, fee is yeah, what some
thing,
folks call
one
it.
Thing that we did with the jail system was that signed a contract stating they're going to be with us this link or not to receive this $2,500 upfront money. Okay. Right. That way they just don't get it. And then 2 months later they leave and they leave with the $2,500.
Right.
So we got to be cognizant of that. And, I think that these are some options here that we have available, but it's still going to take management to look into this to see if that 3% can even be done for the EMS due to the fact that they don't want it. Can it be separated? Can that happen? I don't have the answers to that.
We'll keep working on it. I've been in contact with the county manager and have asked for updates. And
but let me ask you a question. Would the board not agree if it could be done and people chose to keep that 3% for themselves, that they would they concede that would be a route that they could get 3% quickly?
Yeah, it's their choice.
Is that in the form of a motion, sir?
That's in the form of a motion if it needs to be made, but the county manager would have to look at it. And
I suggest we not approve a motion until we get some, whether or not it is legal for us to do it.
Okay.
And another thing, look, right now, you're getting that, people are getting that. That's going to them, right? They don't pay them. You're taking money from them, not giving them money. We pay that. We put it in their 401k. They're not giving them the money. They're taking money out of their pocket.
Well, I think they would realize that and they know that. But the problem is that what Mitch made the comment a few minutes ago, and I think Commissioner Atkins kind of backed that up, is that they're looking at the weekly paycheck. They're looking at a car payment. They're looking at that, not what's going to be 20 years down the line.
They need to listen to some of us older folks and plan for retirement. It's nice having that money in the bank.
Please express to you folks, and I think I can speak to the whole board, is that, you know, because we're not jumping on something tonight, it's not because we don't appreciate them. We really do appreciate what they're doing. We appreciate them staying here, and we're working on it.
Yes, sir. Just a comment. I've told them it's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah. How much does a bulletin board cost? I've seen a lot of bulletin boards. We're hiring. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you want to throw that kind of money into advertisement or not.
You're talking about on the side of the road?
Yeah.
Usually about $2,500, $3,000 a month.
Well, I think Mitch is right. I mean, it's kind of like the law enforcement community. It's a pretty tight-knit community, and everybody that wants a job knows that we have jobs. Everybody, I don't think there's anybody out there that know that they can get a job if they want. That would take a job.
Part-time, we advertise full-time.
Yeah. You're going to the colleges that have the programs and recruit.
Oh, we're paying for students to be in those classes.
Okay, but so, I mean, they have. Are there any students in those classes that aren't assigned somewhere already?
Most of them, I think I got most of them out of the last Beaufort class. If they weren't in there for us, they were in there for Greenville Fire Rescue, and we hired two out of there that were come out of the class that were not affiliated, and they have since left.
And again, getting back, the retention factor is the most important right now.
Well,
you're down one whole shift or one whole shift of people. You said what, 8, 10?
Yeah, okay. A full shift is 8, and we're looking to fill. Like I say, 2 of them are going to come off the transport side. One of them's a new employee, and one of them's going to come off the transport side. So we're looking at it, not a deficit financially wise on the transport side, but we're maxed out on the transport side. We can't run any more calls.
And if you lose 2 more, you're really going to be in a pickle.
Ever since I heard about this, and I know all of us know folks who work within your department. And I can tell you just the few that I've spoken to and talked to them about, we understand what you're dealing with. We're going to be doing everything we can to try to fix this thing as quickly as we can. Just giving that message, to me, is a sincere message. People have responded very well to it and say, thank you. We know you are. You know, we love this job. They like working for you, and I'll be straight with you. They like working for the county. So all of us need to make sure that we all know these folks. These are folks. Let's talk to them and let them know. As we consult and try to come up with something that will really work, let them know that we're appreciative.
Well, going back to what I said before,
what the chairman says is that a motion, which it isn't. But what it boils down to is I need you, I'd like to have management research that and see if it even can be done. If it can be an option. If it isn't, it isn't. If it is, it is.
I think I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask you anyway. Is there anything other than money that we could do in the short that we could do immediately that may help their working conditions or may just
show that we're trying? We're looking at changing the schedule and putting admin on trucks. We're trying to alleviate the stress off of them. Now we have it, so we have a staging policy. If a call goes out in Lewiston, we send a truck from Windsor to be halfway to cut down on response times. But if you work past 24 hours, then your staging policy goes not in effect because we want you to have downtime. I spent 8 hours Friday night on a QRV and about 6 hours Saturday morning on a QRV and worked over the phone Sunday on a few things. But our biggest problem was the trucks we had running, 2 of them were in 48-hour shifts. I mean, they were give out. They run all night.
It's not healthy.
I walked in the door and I said, tell me what you got going on, what you've done. And I go back and look at the calls they ran and I said, you're down. Unless you get a call or you need to go get something to eat, don't go out of the station. You know, get some rest, get yourself straight, go take a shower. If we need to shut this down so y'all can go get straight for a few minutes, then that's what we'll do. And we're trying to offset those employees because we don't want to increase the liabilities on the county. We don't want to increase the risk on the employee, and we definitely don't want to increase the risk on our citizens. I mean, I told y'all in 2013 the failure on option. I still hold true to that day. And if I got to get on the truck and run it by myself, then that's what we do. But I'm going to come sit before you on the podium and tell you.
When you're exhausted, you just start making mistakes. That's just the way
that's right.
Is. That's right. After 22 hours, they say 18 to 22 hours is the legal limit of intoxication of 0.08. So we really look at those hours to once they hit that over that 24 mark, that they get downtime. That they don't go out because our staging policy is a benefit to the county. It's not a benefit to our employees. It's a benefit to the county. If they leave, let's say Lewiston gets a call, average turnaround is 2 hours, or that Windsor truck sits in the truck at Mount Olive Church for 2 hours. You know, so I've worked 24 hours. I'm on hour 30, and now I'm sitting in Mount Olive Church in front of a E450 van for 2 hours with traffic coming by or people stopping by knocking on the window or, you know, so we took that out after 24 hours to get them that downtime. And then, you know, we sat down with our admin staff and said, I'm not going to take any time away from you during the holidays. I just want you to know that all of you can't take off the same day because somebody's got to get on the ambulance with me or, you know, a captain that day and figure out how to make it work. So they're working on that to turn that in to make sure they still get their valuable time with their family. And we're going to continue to make sure that our citizens get that 10 minutes or less on a paramedic on every call.
Do you have any luck at all with part-time?
We have two on our part-time roster. We actually pulled a list of this before when we started working on this project. We used to have a page of part-time people. And we went back and looked, and it was 3 and 6 months. Nobody had worked. So we started taking them off, calling them, taking them off, taking them off. And it's just not a large part-time roster out there. But if you go back and look at the shortages, if your county's going to offer you overtime to come to work, you're making it time and a half instead of coming here. And look, I would love for them to come here. I mean, I'll take part-time tomorrow. But
you know, I contacted you about the National Guard. And the more I thought about that, I guess I misunderstood that gentleman, that maybe he worked in another state where the National Guard was helping the EMS, the county's EMS system. So is that something that maybe we should go to the governor with?
I mean, we could try. I don't know what the standings are as far as that are, how to enact that. I know we've had four-wheel drive ambulances in the past with what they consider to be certified personnel. And we'd have to talk to the medical director and figure out what that certification is. But those right now are running the shock clinics and the infusion sites.
I did not misunderstand the fact that he was on a truck, an EMS truck, making calls.
As soon as you text me, and I called the state, and I said, hey, hold on, y'all didn't tell me something. If this is an option, I want it. And he was like, no, this is what we're doing in North Carolina. We should be back up for consideration for the FEMA trucks by the end of the week.
I mean, my son was National Guard, and he would have loved to have stayed at home during Hurricane Isabel and worked as a National Guardsman rather than be shipped off to Louisiana like he did. So, I mean, if we have some medics with the National Guard, I know they would love to be able to help in this crisis.
Well, I can tell you one thing that we can file for, but we don't, I don't think that we have the qualifications for it this time. We can file for a waiver for people to drive our ambulances with no certification. But we just can't put anybody on an ambulance running like a siren that doesn't have any experience. And my comment to the state was, I said, hey, if I had X number of paid fire departments around here when they're downtime, then we would consider that immediately. But we just don't have the structure of personnel that deals with emergency vehicle driving, emergency situations, to put them in that situation, a non-certified person in a vehicle.
Some of our part-time deputies might move.
Think you're going to have to pay them time and a half?
Greg asked a great question about part-time, right? He said, well, probably don't get as many because they can stay at home and get time and a half, right? Would it make a difference if we were paying part-time people at a higher, that whatever that time and a half rate would be, we're paying them at the rate? Would we get more?
So I've always thought about part-time and what it meant for benefits. I don't disagree with that. My fear right now would be the morale of employees are already working.
Right, but if you had something first, the first thing is retention.
Yep.
Put something in place to make people here feel like a significant benefit. And that ought to be more than
right.
What you do. But I'm just saying, if you had that, would saying to part-timers, we're going to pay you what you feel time and effort.
Some counties have done that. I'll do some research on it. The counties that I spoke with, these are their pay rates. But when I was in Orange County, I remember them having a slightly higher rate for part-time employees.
Well, definitely the number one thing is the retention part. We got to stop the bleeding and then move on to hiring. We really do both at the same time, but we got to stop. We got to stop the bleeding. Yeah.
Well, you and the county manager have gotten some more thought process. Y'all can go back and meet again and see what both of your heads see, do the research on the 3% and see how much money exactly we have in the ARP money that we could possibly utilize. Anybody else?
Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mitch.
I'm going home to see my baby.
Yes, please do. Kiss
the baby, man.
Y'all have a good night.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, so next on the agenda is the board appointments, and we do have another item on the agenda being added, and I will let the county manager, he explained it briefly to me, so I'll let him take it from here.
Yes, so our clerk, LaShonda Cartwright, can fill you in just a minute here, but Jenny Bowen from the Workforce Committees contacted us in reference to appointments to the Workforce Development Board. We talked about that a few meetings ago to replace the two people who were previously serving on that board. And so she reached out to us indicating that we needed to make an appointment tonight if possible. LaShonda, can you share with the board who those two people are who we're recommending for appointment?
Yes, good evening, everyone. The first appointment recommendation would be Ms. Julie Nicholson, HR manager at Purdue Farm, and Mr. Randy Cherry for the small business seat upon board's approval.
Yes, so Mr. Cherry served on the committee's board as a representative for the school, but since he's no longer employed by Bertie Public Schools, he can now serve in the seat for the small business.
Oh, cool.
I think really wanted someone from Purdue.
Yeah. Is there a motion?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I want to stop here. I noticed earlier that our senator is online with us. Your picture looks mighty pretty, Ms. Bazemore. Do you have anything you'd like to say? Yes, she needs to be unmuted.
Senator Bazemore. I'm trying to get her
to unmute herself. Okay. Right, can you hear me now?
Yes. Welcome, Senator Bazemore.
It's good to hear everybody.
It's good to be heard.
Yes. I was just thinking, and I'm just throwing it out there.
Okay.
Did the emergency management take care of that big deficit that they were in? Because it looks kind of strange. And the last time we gave one group some help, I got a lot of calls from other employees. So I just want to say, y'all tread lightly and give this much discussion.
Mm-hmm. How's everything in Raleigh?
Everything is good. We are working on the budget. Looks like everybody may get some money, but the budget is not final.
Well, please look out for us, please.
You know I am. And looks like District 3, we have a new shape and a new form with maybe possibly 8 or 10 counties. Ooh. So it's going to be a big change.
And Senator Bakemore, I've been listening to the gerrymandering and the redistricting because it's being live streamed. And the first district of the House that they locked in place was the first district, which, you know, I know this can be challenged, but we were in with Bertie, Terrell, McQuimmons, Camden, and Sherwin. But now they're putting us with Martin and Edgecombe. Those three making up the new District 1 on the House side. And they locked that one in as the very first one. How do you think that's going to play?
Well, we feel like it's just a major distraction. Nothing is final yet.
Sure.
We're still working on it. Matter of fact, I suppose to meet in Raleigh to look at District 3. But they're looking at, well, I'm thankful District 3 is a voting right district. So the courts, we have to settle it if it goes too far left. And I feel like we may be all right, but you don't know due to the pandemic and the census, because we lost a lot of people that did not take part. That's why they're clumping so many together. You know, we didn't do well in the census. But I'm thankful. And at least Bertie will be getting some money, hopefully. It's not final, but right now you're looking good.
All right. Well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
All right. We will go back to our consent agenda. So I'll take a motion for one and two. Is there a motion to approve items 1 and 2?
I make a motion to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
So the ABC funds report for Trillium. I don't know if I missed that or when I was looking over the agenda, I wasn't sure about it, so I didn't want to get the motion.
We received this from Executive Director Blam Baker, and the General Statute just requires Trillium to provide this report to you because we use some ABC funds from the county, and so they are required to outline how those funds have been spent.
Okay.
So that's simply what this report is.
All right.
Madam Chair, move to approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
And the resolution establishing a home program housing consortium. So it's really hard to talk with this thing on. Can you give some background on that, please?
Sure, I certainly can. And I asked Mr. Merrill Flood to be on standby just in case you all had any questions.
Okay.
And he can definitely give you the details. But a while back, we talked about us, Bertie County, joining a consortium with Halifax County, Hertford County, Martin County, and Northampton County, where those five counties would come together and share the startup costs and matching costs. But annually, we could receive so much money, a big portion of money. And I've let Mr. Flood say exactly what that amount is, but that would be used strictly for affordable housing. And so far, Hertford and Halifax counties have approved this this resolution, and if we're going to be on board, it's about time for us to make a decision so that things can move forward. And within the next 30 days, it'll also be important. What I plan to do is, well, of course, you need the board's help with reaching out to the municipalities. And of course, Mr. Flood said he'll be a resource for that as well, because it'll be important for the municipalities to sign on and buy into this as well. Mr. Flood, will you
can you add to
that, please?
Sure. Thank you. Good afternoon and good evening, Commission. Your manager, Mr. Bond, is correct. This is an opportunity for Bertie County, along with the other four mentioned counties, to receive up to $657,000 annually. This could go up, as federal budgets tend to do, in the creation of a home consortium. You all as a consortium, if you form this, will decide how to spend the money in your communities and how much is divided amongst the participants each year. This presents an opportunity for you to have some meaningful continuous dollars to do home program activities or affordable housing activities in the five county region. Alone, you typically have to apply for funds and see how well you fare with your grant applications. If you form this, you would be eligible for money to come into your communities annually on an annual basis, as long as you prepared an annual plan and ran the program under the guidelines. It's really very similar to CDBG. There are some differences, but not many. As the manager mentioned, we do have to have the municipality support, but $657,000 on an annual basis will give you some continuity. Right now, Halifax County, Hertford County has approved resolutions to move forward with this. We'd like to get this submitted on your behalf probably by late spring of 2022, so that you would be eligible for the first year of funding around 2023. There's several steps to take along the way. There is a 25% match, but as I told all of our consortium members, you probably do some other things that may negate you having to come out with an annual cash match. But in the event that you did, it would be $167,000 between the five counties, and that comes out to a little over $33,000 per county if you had to come up with a cash match. So, you know, we are hopeful. When I formed one in Greenville years ago, we never came up with money beyond the first year. So we had enough activities that we could count between all of the participants. So I'll stop there to open the floor if you have questions.
Mr. Flood, the other two counties, have they given you any idea of whether or not they're going to join in or not?
We are waiting to hear back from Martin and Northampton counties. The indications whenever I appeared between in front of their board of commissioners was yes, more, but it sounds promising. I can't verify with you tonight that those two counties have signed on. They've not provided a resolution. We're trying to make contact to see what their decision will be.
Okay. So just to refresh the board's memory, we did budget for this using the ARP money. Yeah. So just to refresh y'all's memory.
Madam Chair, I'd just like to speak to this. I remember this because I was out that day when Ms. Flood came to speak and was not here. And so then it kind of forced me to kind of read the material and talk to others who were already leaning towards this. I mean, the opportunity to share $657,000 on an annual basis is something that I don't see how we can say no to, because housing, I believe, still is the number one, you know, detriment to the growth of this county. We are losing people, but yet and still we have more people who work here that don't live here than any other county in this region, percentage wise. So anything that would spur housing is key to the growth of this county and reversing that loss. So I certainly support this.
And Mr. Fun, it seems like I recall that a commissioner from each county would sit on a board for disbursements of funds?
You would appoint an individual. I would caution, only because the HUD rules say that those that are involved in the decision-making process have to be separate and apart from the consortium. So it would be likely that you would appoint some a staff representative that would report back to you on a frequent basis of what happens.
That's great. One less board to sit on, but at least we have a voice at the table. Yes, so that's great. Thank you. Are there any other questions?
I'm looking for a decision and resolution.
Yes, there's a resolution in our packet on page 30.
I'd like to make a motion that we approve the resolution to be a part of this consortium.
Is there a second?
I second it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any nays? Good job. Aye. And for time purposes and this mask, I'm not going to read this resolution. I don't do masks well, y'all. Whew. Okay, moving on. Discussion of rotation of chair, vice chair of Board of Commissioners. This has been discussed and then discussed some more and then discussed some more. So I'd like to see us either make a decision or table it altogether for indefinitely. Is there any discussion?
You know, I always got to think.
I'm glad you recognize that.
I do. But, I'll be honest, you know, and when I think you looked into this, I don't know anybody who's really doing this on a rotation basis. I mean, there are a lot of different methods out there that people are using. Some of them are real strange, like Mecklenburg County, when they replace all at once and whoever gets the most votes is chairman, who gets the second most votes. That's kind of ridiculous. But, you know, I don't know. I don't believe that I could vote for a rotation, because I think, you know, we're all big boys and big girls, and we ought to be able to, those who are interested in being chair or vice chair, or the, you know, raise their hand. If they're interested, we vote and do we elect the person that we want. It's not that hard to do. I just don't think doing rotation is what, you know. And then different years, you may have different people who you want to put into the chair and vice chair based on their experience or even their interest. So, I mean, I think we ought to be
you know, be man up and woman up.
I'm glad you included me.
Always. And, you know, and vote on who we want. You know, I can say that. So, but we're not looking to do this tonight, or are we looking not to?
Well, I'd like to just, yeah, I mean, because December is coming quickly, and so we've talked about it now for a year. Commissioner Atkins, this was your original thought. You know, where are you at?
I don't necessarily promote this rotation for any particular reason, other than the fact that since I've been here, there just always seemed to be a lot of dissension around this selection of chair and vice chair, and I just like to find some way of preventing that from happening, whether it's a rotation or something else. I don't doesn't matter to me about whether it's a rotation. I was just trying to come up with a solution to prevent that.
And it was a great it was a great thought process, because December's first meeting is usually not fun at all. Anybody else?
Do we need to vote tonight? Can we vote tonight? Nominate tonight?
No, not for chair and vice chair. Okay. No.
Just keep it like it is.
All right. So is there, you haven't really voiced your opinion about the rotation idea.
Well, you know, just like Ron said, Commissioner Weston says, everybody is a big guy and a big lady. And I feel like, you know, when that time comes, we can nominate a person that we have feel like they have the leadership to guide the board, you know, for 2022.
And, so it sounds like we're tabling indefinitely, so you can mark it off your list.
Definitely, we have to make a decision by
December.
Is that the
date? Yeah, I understand the chair to mean we're going to keep it as usual, going moving forward.
We're going
to
continue as we've been doing. Move.
When is that date? When did we make?
December, the first meeting in December.
Correct, which December 6th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You need a motion. Is it a motion?
We don't need one because we're not changing. Okay. All right, so next on the agenda is the road safety and maintenance update by Attorney Lloyd Smith. And yeah, I've asked for this just because we haven't heard what's going on, and I have had some phone calls.
Court has, you know, because of these masks, come to a screaming halt. I was talking to Juan today, and we're in a multi-county district, and there are districts that have more Superior Court cases than we do. Counties, actually Hertford County does, for some strange reason, and we could go there and go ahead and get our default judgment entered. It would probably cost you an extra 2.5-3 hours. If not, our order will be entered against him in December.
Okay. So and John may know better than I do, Commissioner Trent, that property, part of that property was sold?
No, you're thinking that's not that. No. I don't believe that property's been sold.
No, okay.
It did not sell. I haven't done a title search on it, but I'm pretty sure it
did not sell.
Okay. Mm-mm. You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking
about. Now, all right, never mind.
So the first thing I need instruction from y'all. Do you want to wait, or do you want me to find the closest court?
Well, we're just talking December. We might as well wait till December.
Okay. I mean, unless they cancel that session, if they cancel that session, I'll just email y'all and tell you when the next session is. Yeah,
it's costing us enough as it is.
Well, you haven't heard anything, so you haven't been billed anything. So. And the second thing is the gentleman we could never get service on, he actually has sold a piece of property, sold it to somebody here in town that we found today. And I've got a letter on my desk, hopefully in the morning, that you will sign that we can send to him, get that taken care of.
Okay. Okay.
Douglas Turner
Journal. Oh, yeah, that's the one I was talking about. I just had the wrong property.
501 Belmont Street, Windsor, North Carolina. He's purchased.
Yeah, that ain't the one.
He's purchased the piece that was in. And I don't know how that guy kept dodging our process server, but anyway, we never could get the original.
I think it's server. Just recently happened.
Yes, no, yeah. I mean it is, but Doug, I know where Douglas lives. I can walk up there and hand him a letter.
He can serve himself.
Anyway, that's those status of those two cases. We're trying to find somebody we can serve. So we'll have one order entered, and at the time what happens, just refresh your recollection. You know, we're not seeking penalties, we're not seeking the $100 per day. All we're seeking is an order from the court that he has 45 days to fix the road, or the county gets to fix the road and charge him.
It's in our ordinance, though, to charge $100 a day?
It is, but you expressly told us not to do that.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Now, if you want to change it, we can amend it.
You've got it in your notes. I don't recall that, but
I'd rather charge them than have an offset.
I don't recall us doing that. Do you know what meeting it was that we did that?
Yes, ma'am. The meeting or the meaning?
When we voted to do away with the $100?
It was shortly after. You didn't do away with it. You just told us when we filed a suit to make him pay to fix the road, not to seek the $100 in addition.
Oh. I don't recall.
That's why, I mean, y'all signed the complaint. We wouldn't
agree. Okay.
We'd be glad to do it. And you have the right to charge $100 per day per violation and also have the road fixed. I think the feeling was it was just too expensive. So that's up to y'all.
Too expensive?
For the taxpayer.
Me too. Do you need a motion to change that?
I'm hearing.
No, I need a motion.
Is it too late to change it?
If y'all want to proceed that way, the next one, we will certainly do that.
Is there a motion to do that?
I just need a sense of the board. Y'all tell us what to do.
I'll make a motion to follow the ordinance the way it's written.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. I mean, we got the ordinance. Let's follow it. Even though I voted against the ordinance. Yeah.
I understand. But, there will be a lien, I assume, placed upon the property, but unfortunately, and in all honesty, I've done a title search on Mr. Cherry's property, and there's significant amounts of liens already on it. So it may be one of these things where it's 10, 15 years before the county collects his money back.
If we started charging this $100 a day and they fix the problem, do the necessary improvements, we would still have the option of waiving that $100.
Well, no, because I guess you could waive a judgment. What happens is when you file a lawsuit, you're filing a lawsuit to get certain things done. And in this particular case, what we did was we sued him, for violation of ordinance. Did not ask for $100, just asked for him to fix the road and do remediation. If he doesn't do it within 45 days, and you have the right to do it, go in and put a lien on the property. We could sue him for $100 a day and the right and force him to fix the road and then go in and fix the road behind him. I think the thought process, as I recall from 2 years ago, was that it was if he paid the $100 or the remediation, they would equal out. Now, I can't say for sure because I don't have a vote. But, yes, you could waive a judgment. I've never had a client that wanted to do that. But, I mean, if you got a judgment for 10, say it went for a year, that would be $36,500 plus the cost of fixing the road. The county could use that money back, I suppose, for other purposes. It might go to the school board, so you might not be able to waive it.
I'm just thinking if they fix the road in a timely fashion, once that started accumulating,
we've given – in this particular instance, I mean, I've had Mr. Cherry come to my office and swear to me he's going to fix it like next week.
I know it was last December.
It's been since then because
the first time he told you I'll have it done.
Yes, ma'am.
December.
I think you might have been in the office when he did that or shortly thereafter.
Mr. Smith, the lien laws in the state of North Carolina, which I'm not as familiar with them as I am in Florida, but the lien of piece of property in Florida. You can lien their piece of property, and if they own another piece of property, you can lien it also. And that also goes for the personal residence. Can that be done in North Carolina?
It can be done.
Thank you, sir.
It can't be done the way this ordinance is drafted, but we could fix it so it could be done that way.
All I need to do is.
Well, I mean, we were told to fix it so there'd be a lien on the piece of property in which the road was. Now, if you want it.
Yeah, I know, but you just gave us some information a second ago. I don't think either one of us had as far as.
Well, if you've got the $100 per day judgment, that would be a lien against everything he had, automobiles, land, house, anything. It wouldn't affect if property owned by, as tenants by the entirety. In other words, a husband and wife own property in a different situation. If the judgment's just against Mr. Cherry, but anything else he owned, it would be a lien against that.
But how do we make him pay that $100 a day?
We execute on the judgment.
Execute the lien, we foreclose on it.
We execute. Once the judgment's recorded, there's an execution process. Which you give a debtor notice of a right to set off what's called a homestead exemption, which if memory doesn't, and I'm not looking at the statute, but I think it's up to $10,000.
It's minimal.
Yeah.
I think it is minimal though. It's not.
It's not. North Carolina's not one of the states where you get a big exemption. A lot of other states will blow you away. But in other words, You get to say, okay, I want to keep my car. But everything else you got is fair game.
Mm-hmm. So does that mean that we can take those things, or if he sells
we can take them and sell them. We can have a deputy. We have a deputy who's really – John's personal process server, you send him out to get something, and he'll get it if it's possible to do it. He's really good.
This thing has teeth.
We can make it as toothy as you want.
Would you just explain to me,
make it good? Attorney, once Mr. Cherry complete his test with the road, the lien and everything be released?
Sure.
Okay.
And another thing, too, with
it will be released to the extent that he repaid the county for the cost of doing it.
But I'm talking once he does it.
If he did it, yes.
Right.
Whatever we do, we do not want the road as part of any settlement or any.
You don't want his road.
No,
because that would require you to upkeep. No, you would just get a lien upon the property on the road, around the road. That's what all we got.
Has he given any indication he's going to fight it?
He's given no.
He's no, told he told me he's going to fix it within a week.
Times he's going to fix it. And you know, we did go through a hurricane, and then we went through COVID, and he kept saying, "I'm going to fix it." But I think if we get a judgment against him, which is now an entry of default is done, that means that the clerk has foreclosed his ability to file an answer. So all we need to do is hand up a judgment to Judge Grant, get him to sign it, and execute on it.
All right.
And the $100 per day fines and forfeitures that go to the school.
I'm not 100% sure the way we wrote it. We tried to get around that, to be honest.
We did because that was something we discussed, get around that.
What we set forth is it's a civil penalty pursuant to 153A, 123C, and it's recoverable. As a civil fine and not punitive. That means that it doesn't go to the school board. We're trying to make it so that it went to the county's coffers. The reason for that is it's intended to help defray any potential costs associated with repairing said private roads. That was the reason for doing that. We weren't trying to take something from the school board. You were just trying to give something to the county to fix these roads. So we take position that the school board is not entitled to it. And we're going to file another one very shortly. So if somebody doesn't fix that mess up at Kelford, so we've got a target. So we'll see how it works.
Okay. Sounds good. We had a motion. We had a second. We had a vote. So
yes, we'll get them.
All right.
That's the easiest thing in the world to do.
Next on the agenda is Commissioner's report. So Commissioner Robertson.
Everybody listening on, and all the commissioners take one moment of silence and memories of Colin Powell.
Oh, yes. Amen. Great man passed away today. Yes. Moment of silence, please.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes. Thank you for reminding us to remember this great man. Commissioner Trent.
No, ma'am. I'm fine.
Commissioner Atkins.
No, ma'am.
Commissioner Wesson.
I just had two things. One, we just discussed with Senator Bazemore. If you guys are really interested in the redistricting process, you can watch this in real time because they're live streaming it. And I've sat in a couple of times, one time for about 2.5 hours watching it. And it was interesting because I just was lucky enough to catch what they did for Bertie. They looked at us and determined, we're in District 1 in the House I'm talking about, with Terrell, like I said, Shawan, Clemens, Camden, Bertie. When you think about it, the only one of those counties perhaps that we've got a real relationship with or similar to us, made the argument might be Terrell. And maybe Shawan because they're across the water, but the others, you know, on the Virginia border or whatever, just don't really relate. So what they wanted to do was cluster, what they call cluster, counties that similar interests, right? And so the fact that they put us very, very good thing for us. First of all, it's only three counties. So a representative is going to come from one of those three. And
Bertie, Martin, and Edgecombe? Edgecombe,
that's correct. Oh. Edgecombe has about 44,000, and Martin plus Bertie come up to be about almost the same. We have they're showing us at 17,000, I think 800 residents. I was surprised at that number. I thought we were a little bit higher, but they're showing Martin at about 20, a little over 20,000. So we're
Edgecombe's at 40, yeah,
44. So they're larger, but it's still relative. But they are very similar to us in terms of interests and things like that. So I think it's a better deal for us. I think it's a much better deal. What they're doing with the other counties, like our Senate, they haven't decided on that. I think as Senator Bazemore said, it's interesting. We'll see. But most of these things may end up being challenged in the courts anyway. Yeah. But they locked as the very first one on Bertie, which I thought was interesting. So,
oh.
Yeah, the other thing is that you guys remember me coming, talking to you about.
So we would have a new House person.
Well.
Because yes, Ed Goodwin represented
it would be somebody from Edgecombe or somebody from Martin,
right?
You know, who might decide to run. So anyway, Carolina Rebuilders Ministry is a nonprofit that had $1.6 million from the Duke Endowment that added Bertie to the service area. Clint, Washington, and Shawan, they added Bertie right before the pandemic set in, right? So they were going to repair homes in Bertie County for seniors or low-income people, average somewhere around a job. So far received 42 applications. Most of them are interesting from the western part of the county. Lewiston, Kelford, Roxville, a lot of them there. I think they just did a good job of getting the word out. But we're gonna be starting back again, if all goes well, in the first part of December, coming in and starting to do homes. So they're kind of qualifying those people right now. In fact, one young lady called me today and you know, she was in desperate need because she had mold and something that kind of moved her to the head of the list. So we plan to have volunteers coming in on a regular basis, starting in December. So if you know folks who are low income or seniors who have issues with their homes, now, we can't rebuild homes, we can do roofs, we can do windows, we can do floors, we can do, you know, walkways, we can do ramps, those kinds of things. Then tell them to look online, Carolina Rebuilders Ministry. The applications are online, please get them in. We are applying for a significant larger portion from the Duke Endowment very shortly, so we believe it will be approved. So, and we have three people from Bertie County on that board of eight, David Peel, myself, and Reverend Anthony Ward. So we're well represented for Bertie County. So we really need to get our applications here.
It's a great, great program, great ministry. I was able to help one of the elderly in Coleraine with a new roof through this ministry. So very great to work with. So yeah, just can't say enough good stuff. So for my report, I will say that I am officially voted in member of the National Association of Counties Board of Directors. We had our meeting in Utah last week, and just I'll say it again. This is at no expense to the county that when I travel to these board meetings. So no worries there. But it was the Western Interstate Regional Conference that I attended. And so one of the sessions, they talked about the shortages of firemen and EMS. At that. So even the Western states are having the same issues that the Eastern states are, the shortages. At the actual board meeting, we got an update on the ARP money. And one thing that I zoned in on was that any money that we appropriated using the interim final rule, it will be approved when the final rule comes out. So no worries about anything, any of that money that we have spent thus far, you know, it being taken out of the final rule and not included. If it was part of the final rule, it will be approved. So no worries there. Let's see. Yeah. I have a lot, but because of time, I won't go into it all. I will send out an email. Yes.
I promised Mayor Jimmy Hoggart that I would let the board know that they've made a decision. They are going forward with the fire training center. Remember we gave the land? And so he anticipates, I believe he said, having a groundbreaking in December. I think he said he would let us know. He'd want us there, but they are, and they've got currently the funding, and they've already got commitments from around other counties about doing training there. So it looks like it's going to be a, you know, well-received kind of thing, but they're looking to break ground. I think somebody had asked, you know, where does that stand? And I just happened to see him, and he brought it up. So
yeah, one other thing I'd like to mention about NACO, they have President Johnson, which did a great job at our board meeting, has an initiative of doing untold stories. And I really think that this board, we have not gotten enough credit for the work that we've done, especially around the beach project, which was Commissioner Wesson's baby. I just think we need to get that story out there on this untold story on NACO. So we need to arrange us to go out there one day and show it to the world by way of video and talk about how we got it and what our plans are. Maybe have Robin out there with us and tell the story. And the North Carolina Association, their initiative this year is preparedness. And I was really disappointed that none of us got selected to be on that committee. I volunteered if nobody else on our board, but I'm sure he had a lot of volunteers because no matter where you live in North Carolina, you need to be prepared for some type of emergency, whether it's fires or floods or storms. So, right. So anyway, so that will be coming up this year too. All right, county manager.
No report tonight.
Okay, county attorney. All right, we do need, public comments. There's nobody left as audience. So Ms. Cartwright, are there any public comments?
No public comments at this time.
All right, so we will, move into closed session, and I don't have my glasses on.
Excuse me.
Yes.
And I keep forgetting that you're supposed to write it, but I just want to
thank the board for a wonderful job. Commissioner Wesson and the upcoming of the building, the team, I understand, you know, you're steady moving, the grand opening for Blue Jays Recreation Center. And I want to tell each of you to be on the lookout. I can't say what it's about, but we are honoring Mr. James Pugh. However, he is in the Bryan Center, and with COVID, we're gonna have to do a Zoom. So I will make sure you have the link. God bless each of you. You're doing a wonderful job. Keep it up. Congratulations, Tammy, with NACO.
Thank you.
That is so prestigious. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. And that's all. Y'all have a good evening.
Thank you.
You too.
So we will be going into closed session pursuant to 143-318.11(3) and 6. Is that correct? Do I have a motion to
the door? So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Cartwright, can you remove and put everybody in the waiting room, please?
Yes, Chairley.
Is there anybody left in the waiting room, LaShonda?
Yes, one person.
All right. Can you bring them back in?
One moment. They are in.
All right, thank you. So we have come back into closed session with nothing to report at this time. I will entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Second.
Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.